This spring we're looking at the role of Moses and his teachings, and Moses as a leader. And you'll remember last week we saw Moses lead the people across the Sea of Reeds, which scholars think is part of a lake region that has disappeared. It's part of the area where the Suez Canal is today. They crossed the Sea of Reeds, and what Moses did at this point is interesting and very wise. There were major trading highways like Route 95, Route 84, Route 91. There were major trading highways, but he didn't take any of those because the Egyptians with their horses and chariots would catch up with them very quickly. What he did instead was lead the people into the Sinai Peninsula. And there, the chariots and the horses in sand got bogged down. So what he did, he took the Egyptians' advantage and turned it into a military disadvantage for them so they could escape. Today, the Sinai Peninsula is part of Egypt. It's a rough area where you hear on the news every once in a while that, the police station has been attacked or a police group has been ambushed. It's kind of a rough region today. And our troops are also there. This is something many people don't realize. Our Marines are on the border of Israel and the Sinai. They were written into a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. So our forces are there. Today we're looking at Moses and the Ten Commandments. There was a cartoon showing Moses with the tablets, with the Ten Commandments. And in the cartoon he says, these are the Ten Commandments. Yet over on the other side of the cartoon panel, there's this huge pile of tablets. And Moses in the cartoon says, these are the Ten Commandments. Those are the government regulations that go with them. But this is to the point. The Ten Commandments are first principles, foundational principles for a society. All kinds of laws, hundreds of them, are derived from those Ten Commandments. So they're the first principles. Here is the reading. Then God spoke these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no gods except me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not utter the name of the Lord to misuse it. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother so that you may have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Now that's a very edited version of the Ten Commandments as they're found in Exodus. You may want to read the full account. But what I found was interesting too were some just little snippets of what God through Moses says about the Egyptians. Are the Jewish people to take revenge? Or how is their experience in slavery to be used here? This is what we have, just little snippets. Don't abuse or take advantage of strangers. You remember, were once strangers in Egypt. And then from Deuteronomy, don't spurn the Edomite. He is your kin. Don't spurn the Egyptian. You were a foreigner in his land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Life had come full circle for Moses. What once seemed impossible had been accomplished. He had brought his people out of slavery to freedom. And now he was back where it all started. He was back at the foot of Mount Sinai with his people. He was back at the place where he had seen that bush that burned and wasn't consumed and heard the call of God. And now he climbed to those volcanic peaks to worship God, the God who had heard the cry of a people in slavery and had sent a leader to deliver them from that slavery. The revolution was over. The people had escaped from Pharaoh. They were free. But now the issue was, what were they going to do with their freedom? What kind of society would they be? And I think we have to appreciate that these were just ragamuffin slaves, undisciplined, a motley crew, just wild and woolly. How were they going to use their freedom? What kind of people would they become? There were a number of options. Moses could become like Pharaoh. This is what everybody was used to. All power could be drawn to him. And this was the case in most societies in that area. Tyrants ruled. They had absolute power. Moses could become Pharaoh and be just like that, a tyrant. The other option was just the opposite. This could become a failed state, something like we find today in Somalia, with warlords running around shooting one another up. The remarkable thing here, the absolutely amazing thing, is that Israel did not choose to be either one of those kind of societies. Not a dictatorship, not a chaotic failed state, but Israel chose to be a people ruled by law. Absolutely amazing, given the surroundings, given the history of the period. Absolutely amazing. But what did this mean? I think, first of all, it meant that Israel chose to be a moral society where people's rights were respected. Just think now. In Israel, as opposed to many other countries, everybody was under the law. It didn't matter if you were king or shepherd. It didn't matter if you were prophet or priest or farmer or carpenter. It didn't matter what your background was. Everybody was under the law. And a few generations later, you have King David, for example, getting into trouble with Bathsheba. Everybody knows that story. And in most countries, this would not be an issue. The tyrant did what he wanted. But in Israel, even the king is called to account. He's subject to the law just like everyone else. It's a little bit like today, you know, the president, President Trump, wants to do something, but he has to wait for the courts to approve. And I think this is where we get our principle that everyone is equal under the law, that everyone has the right to equal justice, regardless of who you are or where you come from. And of course, Israel too carried it even further, where they say that, you know, animals should be cared for, even the foreigner who exists in the land. Remember how you were treated in Egypt. You don't want to do that to someone else. Israel chose to be a moral society under the rule of law. It's remarkable, given how every other society was. There's a saying that the Jewish people had where someone says, like Moses, talking to God, it would be better. These would go over better. These Ten Commandments would go over better if we didn't call them commandments, if we called them guidelines. But for the Jewish people, they were God's commandments. God cared how people treated one another. God cared how a society was run, whether it was just and fair or not. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, you will live this way. There's another factor here. This was a nation under law. There's another factor, and that is for the Jewish people, the law was something that was good. It wasn't a drag. It wasn't a burden. It was something good. It was as if God had said to them, I brought you out, and this is how you will live, but you will live this way so that you may have a good life. These are things you should avoid. These are things you should do if you want to have a good life and live a good, productive life. Close to my home, there's a park, very similar to the park up here, only smaller. And it's got woods and it's got an old farm. And it's interesting, in those old farms, you can walk through the fields, and they cut a path through the fields. With those fields, every once in a while, you'll see little green flags. And one guy under the arrangement, some old guy with the oldest tractor, the rustiest tractor I've ever seen, has the right to hay that field twice a year, all those fields. And those green little flags are signs that there are obstacles here. Avoid that with your haying machine if you don't want to hang it up. And I remember a book many years ago called The Pointed Pines, The Land of the Pointed Pines. It was about Maine. And in it, the heroine goes to visit a Captain Elijah Tilley. And Elijah Tilley has a nice house. He's a former sea captain. It's yellow and white. And as she walks up to the house, she notices the fields around the house, and they have these stakes, yellow and white, like the house in the field. And she asks the captain, what's with the stakes? And he says, well, when I first came here, I was plowing those fields, and I snagged my plow on rocks. And those stakes tell me where the rocks are, so I don't snag my plow again. And I think the Ten Commandments are like this. If you want to have a good crop in your life, if you want to lead an honorable, productive life, the Ten Commandments are those stakes, those little green flags that warn you where the trouble spots in life are. Do this, avoid that. If you don't want to snag your plow, otherwise you're going to mess your plow up. For the Jewish people, the law was what made them soar. It wasn't a burden, it was
was the wings of the nation, made them soar. And what they did, it was so important to them, is that they often would take the Ten Commandments and write them on parchment and sew them into their garments, into the sleeves of their garments. And they would wear a band with the Ten Commandments on their forehead. You see this even today. Going back maybe a year or two, I think it was during the primaries, there was a Pakistani family of Pakistani origin that got in a fight with Donald Trump. But the point is, that family had lost a son in Afghanistan. And the father carried the Constitution of the United States in his clothes. Very Eastern. If something's very close to your heart, if something's very real to you, you carry it very close. And I think, what does the first psalm, the opening psalm, say? Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the way of scoffers. But he meditates on the law. He meditates upon the law day and night. For the people of Israel, the law governs society. It was the thing that brought them together. It's the heart of their faith. Now, what does it mean to us? What do the Ten Commandments mean today? I think I use this kind of illustration for the law. And I think you've had this experience. The law is my friend. It protects me. I'm driving along Route 84, and this cowboy comes along 90 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic. And what do I say? Boy, that guy's a menace. He's going to hurt somebody. I hope the cops get him. Or, you know, I'm driving at night, and the car conks out on me, and I'm off by the side of the road, and all of a sudden, those flashing lights appear behind me. And boy, there's nothing more comforting, is there? When you're out in the middle of nowhere, the car isn't working, and the cops pull up behind you. Help is there. The law is my friend. Now, I also find every once in a while, I try not to do this, but every once in a while, I'm driving along 84, and maybe my foot was a little bit heavier than I thought it should be, and all of a sudden, there are flashing lights behind me. That's the worst feeling in the world, when a cop pulls you over. And he says, show me your license and your insurance and your registration. You know, the law is my friend. It protects me from the menace. But when I'm the menace, I don't care for it that much. We have both feelings. And it's interesting, our forefathers and foremothers, probably even in this church, in the congregational tradition on Communion Sunday, you know, the Ten Commandments were read. And they were read because the people back then, as is true now, the people back then knew that the Ten Commandments are something none of us really live up to. And they were read at communion time to point out that we all need Jesus' love and forgiveness. The people of Israel were a motley crew. If you can just imagine this, they're just ragamuffin slaves, no discipline, no experience of freedom. You can't have a society without law. And in the Ten Commandments, the people of Israel found the principles of self-discipline, self-restriction, that really took that motley crew and turned them into a nation, into a people. The Ten Commandments, those foundational principles, those first principles, were at the very center of Israel's faith. Again, God is concerned about how a society is run. God is concerned about how we relate to one another. And I think those principles carry over the centuries and apply to our lives today. Human beings haven't changed. What do you think? I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. Therefore, you will live in this way, in gratitude. But also because this is the way to a good life.